Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of what it means to have eternal life. Eternal life is not live forever life. Eternal life is the life in God. It's the uncreated life in God Himself. When we're born again, when we believe on Jesus and are born again, God puts His life in us. We are united to the life in God through Jesus, as truly as a branch is joined to a vine. We become partakers of the life in God. Whatever's in that life is in us now, because that life is in us. That life is in us to transform us, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And that life is in us to enable us to live and walk in this life as Jesus lived and walked in His earth life. When He was on this earth, when He lived as a man, He was God, become a man, without ceasing to be God. But while on earth, He did not live as God. He put aside His rights and privileges as God and lived as a man in dependence on the life of the Father in His human spirit, which is what we are because we're born again. He shows us what sons and daughters of God look like, how they act, how they live, how they walk. Now, we have been making the point that to have outward evidence of the life within, one, you have to know what's in you. That's why we're taking time to talk about this. And two, you have to believe it. You have to believe it. Paul made the statement, we walk by faith and not by sight, in the context of awareness of inward ability that shows up on the outside. We discussed that in some detail last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and into chapter 5, he talks about having a treasure in earthen vessels. And then he talks about how in the midst of all the troubles that came his way as he preached the gospel, he had outward demonstration of the life of God in him. In other words, God in him was his strength. God in him was his joy. God in him was his peace. God in him was his help. Outward evidence of the life within. That is the context in which he said, we walk by faith and not by sight. He contrasted faith and sight. Whatever faith is, it's not sight. And we're making the point that most of us walk by sight rather than faith. And as a result, we don't experience God as our power, as our peace, as our joy, as our strength, as our health. To walk by faith means that you believe what God says over and above what you see and feel. You believe what God says despite what you feel. To walk by sight means you base what you believe and how you act on what you see and feel. And that's where most Christians live. They think they're walking by faith, but when push comes to shove, if I can say it that way, they put what they see and feel above what God says. And we've used this example. I'll repeat it because it's a good one. I feel weak, therefore I must be weak. Well, there's a problem with that. Because the Bible says Christ is your strength. Christ in you is your strength. God, by His life in you, is your strength. You are a branch of a strong vine. You're in union with the vine. Strength is in that life. That life is in you. Therefore, you are strong. John, who wrote that Jesus came to give us life, to give us the uncreated eternal life in God, he wrote in 1 John chapter 5, Verse 4, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. You're an overcomer. Overcomers are strong. Overcomers overcome. That's what the Bible says. Yet your testimony is, I feel weak, therefore I am weak. Well, that's walking by sight. See, faith says, I don't care how I feel. I don't care how it looks. God says I'm strong. God says He's my strength. Therefore I am strong. Therefore I am an overcomer. Now, Jesus went to the cross to pay the price for sin so it could be removed and God could fill us with his life, so we could be born of God and become a literal, actual son or daughter of God through faith. We are overcomers because we now partake of the same life, the same ability, the same strength by which Jesus, as a man, was empowered to overcome in his life. Jesus, by the power of the Father in him, overcame everything that came his way in his earth walk. The same life that reanimated the dead body of Jesus and brought him out of the grave, the same life that enabled him to overcome everything in his earth walk, is in us now. Jesus in me has already overcome everything life can bring my way. He'll now do in me and through me. He will now do it in me and through me to enable me to overcome. We try to feel it. We try to make it happen. Just believe it. Walk in agreement with God. Faith on its most basic level is agreement with God. Get your information about reality, about the way things really are, from the Bible, and believe it. See, that's been a theme we've been working on for months. Reality is the way things really are, the way God sees things. God, who is all-knowing and who sees everything, knows the truth. He sees the overcomer that you are because he sees his life in you because he put it there. Now, many accounts in the Old Testament were recorded so that we don't make the same mistake some of them made. Specifically, the people whom God delivered from bondage in Egypt, we're told in 1 Corinthians 10 that many of the things written about them are written so we don't make the same mistakes they made. What God did for them is called redemption. We could do whole lessons on this. God, to be delivered means to be brought out of, to be redeemed. I'm sorry, I said it backwards. To be redeemed means to be delivered. It means to be brought out of something into something else. Well, God brought them out of slavery to bring them into the land of Canaan, which was a land flowing with milk and honey. That's an expression that means a land of full provision. Now, what happened to them was real people and real events that really happened. But it also pictures the ultimate redemption Jesus provided for us. God brought us out of death to bring us into life. Now, if we were to go back and read the story of these people who got delivered from slavery in Egypt, we would find out that they never entered into the promised land, or they never experienced what God provided for them through redemption. He brought them out of Egypt to bring them into Canaan, into a land of full provision. But that first generation, when they got to the edge of the land, refused to go in. You're aware of that. So they never actually experienced what God provided for them. And the New Testament tells us it happened to them because of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19 says they did not enter into the land because of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says they did not mix faith with God's promise to them to bring them into the land. Now, we're talking about experiencing God as our life, as our power, as our strength through faith. Well, these are people who didn't experience what God gave them because of unbelief. So if we see what they did, it can help us identify what is not faith and what is faith. These are an example of people for whom God made full provision, but it didn't come to pass in their lives because they walked by sight and not by faith. And see, that's what we're saying. Paul emphasized we walk by faith and not by sight in the context of experiencing outwardly the life of God in us. He said we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, these people, that first generation delivered from slavery in Egypt and brought to the edge of Canaan, did not enter into God's full provision for them because they walked by sight and not by faith. Now, let's see what they did. God brought them out of Egypt and under the leadership of Moses led them to Canaan. At the border, this is Numbers 13 and 14. I'm not going to read and we may not have time to read any verses today. We'll get a few in tomorrow. It's Numbers 13 and 14. They got to the edge of Canaan, and 12 spies were sent in to check out the land. Now, they were in the land 40 days, and they came back with a report that it was indeed a beautiful land. It did flow with milk and honey. It was a plentiful, abundant land, a land of full provision. But there were formidable obstacles in the land. There were walled cities. They had never seen walled cities. The Egyptians didn't build walls. So this was a new thing. There were warlike tribes, many fierce tribes in the land, and there were even giant warriors. Now, as we read their report, we find out that all the spies saw exactly the same thing. A lot of provision, but lots of obstacles. Two of them concluded, we are well able to take this land and settle it. But 10 of the spies said, we can't enter, we can't take this land. In fact, if we try, we'll die. And the 10 spies that said, we can't take the land and we'll die if we try, they actually influenced all the rest of the nation of Israel. And everybody refused to enter the land. The only guys that wanted to go in were two of the spies and Moses. Everybody got exactly what they believed in their situation. See, God works in our lives by faith. What you believe is what you get. We could do a whole lessons on that. Yes, God can move sovereignly apart from our faith, and sometimes he does, but no one has a promise of that. He's already acted sovereignly by sending Jesus to die for our sins at the cross. In this situation here, everybody got exactly what they believed about their situation. Joshua and Caleb, the two spies who said, we are well able to take the land, eventually did enter in and settled in Canaan. Moses didn't go in because that's another can of worms. Not because he didn't believe they could take the land. That's a whole can of worms. God didn't let him go in. Joshua became the new leader. Whole can of worms for another day. Everybody else who said we can't go in, they ended up dying in the wilderness between Egypt and Canaan and did not go in. Now, what Israel did is called unbelief. And actually, the report of the 10 spies who said we can't do this is called unbelief. If you read it, they didn't cuss, they didn't blaspheme. All they did was assess their situation only in terms of what they could see and didn't bring God's word into the discussion.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.